The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' He said to them, 'Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." And you will say, "Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum." And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As Paul Harvey used to say, and now for the rest of the story. If you were with us last week, you might remember that after traveling around Capernaum, Jesus returned to his home synagogue. They'd heard about the good things he'd done, and now he was back. Homeboy, done good. It was an honor to be asked to read during worship, and they handed him a scroll from the book of Isaiah. The text was originally read by Isaiah to those who had survived the Babylonian exile. Isaiah filled the people with hope when he read that God will be with them, turning the world upside down. Jesus now reads these same words to the synagogue, announcing that these words will be fulfilled in him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Fulfilled today, not someday, not at the end of time, but today. The people were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "You're Joseph's son." But the story suddenly takes an unexpected turn. It's Jesus who turns this gracious crowd into a hostile mob. He does it by telling them their own truths. Jesus proactively says, "I have this feeling that you're going to quote to me that old proverb, 'Doctor, heal thyself.'" That proverb says a doctor should treat his friends and family first. "Now you're going to be offended that I began my work first with the Gentiles. You're going to expect me to do the same things here for you that I've done in Capernaum." Jesus continues saying that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Jesus doesn't always know when to stop, so keeps agitating them, telling the crowd that God works in mysterious ways, ways that we least expect. When the prophets of old came to do miracles and wonders, it is most often for Israel's enemies. Remember all the widows in Zarephath? Those who, after a 3-year drought, were starving? God sent Elijah to only one of them, a non-believer. God's presence and power were revealed to only one widow, and she was from Sidon. Remember the countless lepers in Israel during Elisha's time? God sent Elisha to only Naaman. He was the only one made clean. He was a Syrian. Jesus told the crowd that God's love is not exclusive. It's not only for them. God doesn't only love who we expect God to love or want God to love. God's love is for all. God's love for all wasn't a new message. The people knew of God's grace and love since way back to the covenant with Abraham. In the wilderness, God told his chosen people to live their lives as a community which demonstrated God's love to all. The people in the synagogue that day knew the story of Jonah, who was offended by the wideness of God's grace and love, especially when God showed grace to the Ninevites, those Jonah both hated and feared. As Jonah ran away, he lashed out, "I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." When faced with the truth that God showed love to even the Ninevites, Jonah can't handle it. He asks God to die. When Jesus reminds the people in the synagogue today of God's boundless love, they're offended and they lash out at even their own beloved hometown boy, Jesus. They're so upset they want to hurl him off the cliff. It's hard news. People don't understand that when the scriptures are fulfilled in their own hearing, this means that they too are to participate in welcoming strangers. Syrians, those from Zarephath, Gentiles of all kinds, even people they don't like or disagree with. Instead, the people today are jealous, resentful, and angry. The truth is hard to hear. Aldous Huxley, the author of the novel Brave New World, said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you mad." Author and Episcopalian priest Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in Christian Century magazine about a retreat that she attended. Those at the retreat were asked to think of one person who best represented Christ in their lives. While most remembered those who had been there for them during the hard times, one woman hesitated before answering. When she finally spoke, she said, "I had to think really hard about that question. I kept wondering, who is it that told me the truth so clearly that I wanted to kill them for it?" The truth in the gospel today is that God's love and grace is for all. Did you notice that our gospel from Luke is paired with the famous love chapter Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Not an accident that it was paired that way. Paul's letter is written to a community which is tearing themselves apart, debating and arguing about which spiritual gift is the most important. Paul urges not uniformity, which is all thinking the same thing. Paul urges unity of our love in Christ Jesus. It's a love that lives itself out in action, response, witness, and even sacrifice. It's a love Jesus offers to all, without condition, without constraint, without bounds. Do we really want a gracious God? Of course we do. Like those who were in the synagogue that day, we want a gracious God for ourselves. We want a God who will love us no matter what we've done, no matter how stupid we are, and no matter what we don't do. But can we really have a gracious God if that God doesn't bring the same grace and love to those outside these doors, outside our faith, even outside our boundaries of what we personally consider acceptable? Our God is not a God who lives only in Alabama, the United States, the church, or even the Lutheran tradition. Our God is not a God who is only for our race, our gender, our sexuality, our age, those born here, those who agree with us, or any other boundaries that we wish to set. God is not ours. Jesus is not ours. We are God's. We are to go beyond our own boundaries, breaking down walls and barriers between us with abandon. Who might Jesus tell us to love today, which might cause us to hurl him off the mountain? It's a serious question. And I want you to think about it today. Is it a political party? Someone who has hurt us deeply? Someone very different from us? Someone we believe is excluded from God's love? Are we able to hear today that God's love comes to all? Then just as importantly, and some days even more importantly, are we able to hear that God's love is for us too? When we're the ones that are on the outside? The other? The broken one? When truth comes to us, spoken in love, we really have four choices. We can stick our fingers in our ears and say, "I can't hear you." We can get angry and kill the messenger. We've done that before. We can be quietly indifferent, turning in on ourselves and only considering ourselves. Or we can follow Jesus and participate in the unfolding of the story of the kingdom of God. There's costs associated with following Jesus and living out the love for all. It can be hard to admit that God might have changed us, allowing us now to love all, even those we had previously excluded from God's love. We might even break some relationships along the way. But it's only by following Jesus when we can embrace the fullness of life and love that only comes through Christ. Christ's love, which now frees us to love one another. Amen.